The occult scientist practices very rigidly this principle of looking for good in all things, because he knows what a power it possesses in keeping down evil. As man progresses in the school of life, his experiences teach him, and his desires become purer and better. Thus by degrees the material of his desire body undergoes a corresponding change. The purer and brighter material of the higher regions of the desire world replaces the murky colors of the lower part. Also grows in size, so that in a sense it is truly a glorious object to behold, the purity of its colors and its luminous transparency being beyond adequate simile. When by the increased vibration of the pituitary body, the lines of force have been deflected sufficiently to reach the pineal gland, the object has been accomplished, the gap between these two organs has been bridged. This is the bridge between the world of sense and the world of desire. From the time it is built, man becomes clairvoyant and able to direct his gaze where he will. Solid objects are seen both inside and out. To him space and solidity, as hindrances to observation, have ceased to exist. The philosophy of the attainment of spiritual sight and insight is to compel to perform the same work inside the dense body while we are fully awake, positive, and conscious as it does outside in sleep and in the post-mortem state. There are certain currents in of everyone. They are strong, well-defined and form seven great vortices in clairvoyance, but are weak, broken, and devoid of vortices in the ordinary man who cannot see. Development of those currents and vortices leads to spiritual sight. In the daytime, when we are engrossed in material pursuits, these currents are sluggish, but as soon as man draws out of the dense body during sleep and commences the work of restoration, the currents revive. The vortices spin and glow. Is then in its native element, free from the clogging weight of the material body. When he has reached that point of abstraction, during concentration, the sense centers have commenced to revolve slowly within the dense body, and will thus make a place for themselves. This in time will become more and more defined, and it will require less and less effort to set them going. We remember that the hierophants of the old mystery temples segregated some of the people into castes and tribes such as the Brahmins and the Levites, for the purpose of providing bodies for the use of such egos as were advanced enough to be ready for initiation. This was done in such a manner that the vital body became separable into two parts, as were the desire bodies of all humanity at the beginning of the Earth period. When the Hierophant took the pupils out of their bodies, he left one part of the vital body, comprising the first and second ethers, to perform the purely animal functions. They are the only ones active during sleep, the pupil taking with him a vehicle capable of perception, because of its connection with the sense centers of the dense body, and also capable of memory. It possessed these capabilities because it was composed of the third and fourth ethers, which are the mediums of sense perception and memory. Since Christ came and took away the sin of the world, not of the individual, purifying of our planet, the connection between all human dense and vital bodies has been loosened to such an extent that, by training, they are capable of separation as above described. Therefore initiation is open to all. The finer part of the desire body, which constitutes the emotional soul, is capable of separation in most people. In fact, it possessed the capability even before Christ came, and thus when, by concentration and the use of the proper formula, the finer parts of the vehicles have been segregated for use during sleep, or at any other time, there. Lower parts of the desire and vital bodies are still left to carry on the process of restoration in the dense vehicle. The mere animal part. That part of the vital body which goes out is highly organized, as we have seen. It is an exact counterpart of the dense body. And the mind, not being organized, are of use only because they are connected with the highly organized dense body. When separated from it, they are but poor instruments. Therefore, before man can withdraw from the dense body, the sense centers of the desire body must be awakened. The aspirant to the higher life cultivates the faculty of becoming absorbed at will in any subject he chooses, or rather, not a subject usually, but a very simple object, which he imagines. Thus when the proper condition or point of absorption has been reached where his senses are absolutely still, he concentrates his thought upon the different sense centers of and they start to revolve. At first their motion is slow and hard to bring about, but by degrees the sense centers of will make places for themselves within the dense and vital bodies, which learn to accommodate themselves to this new activity. Then someday, when the proper life has developed the requisite cleavage between the higher and lower parts of the vital body, there is a supreme effort of the will, a spiral motion in many directions takes place, and the aspirant stands outside his dense body. He looks at it as at another person. The door of his prison house has been opened, he is free to come and go, as much as liberty in the inner worlds as in the physical world, functioning at will, in the inner or outer world, a helper of all desiring his services in any of them. Before the aspirant learns voluntarily to leave the body, he may have worked in during sleep, for in some people becomes organized before the separation can be brought about in the vital body. Under those conditions it is impossible to bring back these subjective experience to waking consciousness, but generally in such cases it will be noticed, as the first sign of development, that all confused dreams will cease. Then, after a while, the dreams will become more vivid and perfectly logical. The aspirant will dream of being in places and with people, whether known to him in waking hours or not matters little, conducting himself in as reasonable way as if he were in the waking state. If the place of which he dreams is accessible to him in waking hours, he may sometimes get proof of the reality of his dream if he will note some physical detail of the scene and verify his nocturnal impression next day. He will next find that he can, during sleeping hours, visit any place he desires upon the face of the earth and investigate it a great deal more thoroughly than if he had gone there in the dense body, because in his desire body he has access to all places, regardless of locks and bars. If he persists, there will at last come a day when he need not wait for sleep to dissolve the connection between his vehicles, but can consciously set himself free. One stage of the Christian mystic's spiritual development involves a reversal of the creative force from its ordinary downward course where it is wasted in generation to satisfy the passions, to an upward course. Through the tripartite spinal cord, whose three segments are ruled by the Moon, Mars, and Mercury respectively, and where the rays of Neptune then light the regenerative spinal spirit fire. This mounting upward sets the pituitary body and the pineal gland into vibration, opening up the spiritual sight, and striking the frontal sinus it starts the crown of thorns throbbing with pain as the bond with the physical body is burned by the sacred spirit fire, which wakes this center form its age-long sleep to a throbbing, pulsating life sweeping onward to the other centers in the five-pointed stigmatic star. They are also vitalized, and the whole vehicle becomes aglow with a golden glory. Then with a final wrench the great vortex of located in the liver is liberated, and the martial energy contained in that vehicle propels upward the sidereal vehicle, so called because the stigmata in the head, hands, and feet are located in the same positions relative to one another as the points in a five-pointed star, which ascends through the skull, Golgotha, while the crucified Christian utters his triumphant cry, Consum Artemist, it has been accomplished, and soars into the subtler spheres to seek Jesus whose life he has imitated with such success and from whom he is thenceforth inseparable. The end. The Rosicrucian Cosmo Conception by Max Heindel. This book gives the complete outline of the Western wisdom teaching as far as it may be made public at the present time. It contains a comprehensive outline of the evolutionary process of man and the universe, correlating science with religion. The author received this teaching personally from the Rosicrucian Brotherhood. It is their latest communication. Part 1 is a treatise on the visible and the invisible worlds, man and the method of evolution, rebirth and the law of cause and effect. Part 2 takes up the scheme of evolution in general and the evolution of the solar system and the Earth in particular. Part 3 treats of Christ and his mission, future development of man and initiation, esoteric training and safe method of acquiring first-hand knowledge. 717 pages. The Rosicrucian Mysteries by Max Heindel. The author divulges the sublime truths of the Western wisdom teachings in a felicitous narrative style, intending specially to give busy people a solution to life's basic problems, as vouchsafed by the Rosicrucian philosophy, thereby satisfying both heart and mind. List of Contents. Chapter 1. The Order of the Rosicrucians and the Rosicrucian Fellowship, Spiritual Wave. Christian Rosenkreuz, Choice of Author as Messenger of the Brothers of the Rose Cross. Chapter 2. The Problem of Life and Its Solution, Necessity for Independent Thought, Three Theories of Life. Materialistic, Theological, Rebirth, Soul and Breath, We Are Eternal, Poem. Chapter 3. The Visible and Invisible Worlds, The Chemical Region, The Etheric Region, The Desire World, The World of Thought, Logos and the Beginning, Christ or Creed, Poem. Chapter 4. The Constitution of Man, The Vital Body, The Desire Body, The Mind, Soul Differentiated from Spirit. Chapter 5. Life and Death, Invisible Helpers and Mediums, Second Heaven, The Third Heaven, Birth and Child Life, The Mystery of Light, Color, and Consciousness, Education of Children, Mount Letters to Students by Max Heindel. This book collects the 97 monthly letters that Max Heindel wrote to students of the Rosicrucian Fellowship from Christmas 1910 to January 1919. After his passing, these priceless letters were published in book form for the inspiration and instruction of all. Expressed in the ardent and intimate voice of a teacher and friend, they cover a wide range of topics, including baptism of water and of spirit, the invisible guardians of humanity, flesh food and alcohol, the Christ spirit and the spiritual panacea, the role of evil in the world, the coming age of air, Eastern and Western methods of development, our method of discerning truth from its imitation, the world war and infant mortality, Christ and his second coming, all occult development begins with the vital body, the Faust myth and the Masonic legend, epigenesis and future destiny, lost souls and stragglers increasing the life of the archetype. Infused with Heindel's characteristic fervor and compelling conviction, these lucid letters transform the formality of the cold printed page into warmth and assurance. As a gift to yourself or another, this book may be a turning point in your journey toward the light. 237 pages. The Rosicrucian Christianity Lectures. By Max Heindel. Delivering these 20 lectures in person was one of the earliest activities of this authorized messenger of the Rosicrucian Order. A comprehensive outline with modern application of the ancient truths of Rosicrucianism. Titles of Lectures. Chapters. 1. The Riddle of Life and Death. 2. Where Are the Dead? 3. Spiritual Sight and the Spiritual Worlds. 4. Sleep, Dreams, Trance, Hypnotism, Mediumship, and Insanity. 5. Death and Life in Purgatory. 6. Life and Activity in Heaven. 7. Birth, a Fourfold Event. 8. The Science of Nutrition, Health and Protracted Youth. 9. The Astronomical Allegories of the Bible. 10. Astrology, Its Scope and Limitations. 11. Spiritual Sight and Insight. 12. Parsifal, Wagner's Mystical Music Drama. 13. The Angels as Factors in Evolution. 14. Lucifer, Tempter or Benefactor. 15. The Mystery of Golgotha and the Cleansing Blood. 16. The Star of Bethlehem, A Mystic Fact. 17. The Mystery of the Holy Grail. 18. The Lord's Prayer. 19. The Coming Force, Vril or What? 20. Fellowship and the Coming Race. The titles show that these lectures were written to answer the recurring questions in every thoughtful person's mind. 374 pages. And there are more books of Mr. Heindel. Do a Google search.